Good morning. It's so good to see all your faces. I told Ryan, or I asked Ryan, I said, you know, would you make an announcement so the women come in? I said, it's been so long since we've all been together. I think we've missed each other, and it was just fun to see all the familiar faces again, and I'm so glad you're here this morning. I love what Ryan was saying about that Jesus is the embodiment of a life of love. And truly that was the picture he gave me that I felt told me what the theme of this study was to be, and that was a life of love. And that was, as I was just praying and thinking about him, I was picturing him and thinking, a life of love. You know, so it's looking at him. It's allowing him to be our example of what he wants our life to be like. You know, and I just good morning. It's so good to see all your faces. I told Ryan, or I asked Ryan. I said, you know, would you make an announcement so the women come in? I said, it's been so long since we've all been together. I think we've missed each other, and it was just fun to see all the familiar faces again, and I'm so glad you're here this morning. I love what Ryan was saying about that Jesus is the embodiment of a life of love, and truly that was the picture he gave me that I felt told me what the theme of this study was to be, and that was a life of love, and that was, as I was just praying and thinking about him, I was picturing him and thinking, a life of love, you know? So it's looking at him. It's allowing him to be our example of what he wants our life to be like, you know? And I just love that. So I'm glad you're all back together here, and I hope this was a great break for all of you. I know it's something that we enjoy, and yet it's an interruption in the rhythm of the normal flow of things. And for any of you who weren't with us before Christmas, we've been focusing on the rest that the Lord has for us. And we've considered how we don't always recognize it, how we can resist it, how we can even refuse it. And I just love the way the Lord has been using this study in my own life. And I have felt its impact. I shared with Courtney this morning even, I went to print off my notes at home and a paper got jammed, you know. And I've never had paper jam in my printer, so I don't know how to get it out. And so I'm looking in there and I'm trying to get my hand in there, and I was literally squishing to get my hand in there, and I could feel it, you know, as I got in, and I thought, oh my goodness, what if my hand gets stuck in here, you know? and truly I could, you know, Courtney says, yeah, you come to the study with the printer hanging off your hand, you know? But truly, and in that moment, for me personally, because as you know, I need my notes, I'm thinking, oh no, you know, but it's like in the very next second, and I know this is the Lord, it's not me, it was like, it's all right. And I have felt him do that in my life multiple times since he has made rest my own focus for all of us. And I'm just praying that you've experienced the same thing. I mean, it can be something as stupid as, you know, your hand being stuck in a printer, and that's nothing. But there are serious things, there are big things you can be dealing with. But it doesn't matter to the Lord. You know, we've heard it said, you know, in praying for healing, the Lord doesn't perceive cancer as any more challenging than a cold. You know, so it really doesn't matter what it is we're dealing with. He wants us to experience his rest. And so my prayer is that this study is impacting you the way it's impacting me, because I have personally loved it. And I thought it was such a timely study to go into the holidays with, you know. And I don't know whether you would say at this point that you did well, you know. Did all of the activities swallow you alive? You know, I always feel, you know, this that Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're happy times, but they're challenging times. And especially for, you know, women in the home and women who have small kids and the whole dynamic of extended families and visits, which can be wonderful or not so wonderful. And I just pray that that as you look back, you would see the places where the Lord absolutely met you and gave you rest. And I just pray that you are mindful of it. And if you really don't feel that you were, make that a prayer. Say, Lord, I know you have rest for me. Help me to see it when you bring it into my life, because it's there for all of us. And I just love that. I also loved how the Lord confirmed the word he's been giving us through Joanna Weaver's message. Didn't you enjoy her? Wasn't she great? I loved what we were talking this morning about when she got her heel stuck in the, you know, floor. I just thought, she was so gracious. And I think for all of us watching her, to watch her get her heel stuck and to respond in such a great way, just kind of like, it made all of us relax. It's like, oh, this is a real person there, you know? And I so enjoyed her message. I loved that whole illustration of how she lost her peace. And I thought, all of us have been there. All of us have lost our peace at different times where one minute we seem to have it, and we're doing well, and then something comes along. And where is that peace? I just had it, and it's gone. So I just felt that that was so timely for all of us. I do believe that the Lord has so much more for us than we ever appropriate. You know, it made me think of this time when I was living in New York City. You know, this is like a lifetime ago. And it was at a time we were on an extremely tight budget. And this visiting relative wanted to take us out for dinner and took us to a really high-end restaurant in New York City that was known for its smorgasbord. And so keep in mind, here we're eating very predictable meals night after night, the same thing, everything within a very tight budget. And we go to this amazing restaurant where the smorgasbord was just unreal. I mean, there was everything you could imagine, and of course displayed beautifully. So do you suppose I took my plate and just looked at all of that food and picked off a bunch of grapes and put it on my plate and walked back to the table? You know I didn't. You know that I stacked that plate as high as I could. And yet, that is, I think, the way we approach the Lord sometimes. You know, it's almost like we have this thought in our mind. I mean, because we know he wants to bless us. If we're in church and if we're in his word, we know he wants to bless us. But we don't always really know the extent of what he has for us. And I was thinking, it's like we picture that we have an X amount of blessings appropriated for us in our lifetime. And maybe if we're asking too much, we're going to use them all up. You know, I think that's sometimes the way we act. And we need to recognize, no, just as with rest, the Lord is there. And that's what he wants for us. And we can receive it when we come to him. In Psalm 84:11, it says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He doesn't withhold himself from us. And yet we withhold ourselves from him. I love Joanna's quote when she was quoting something her husband had said in a recent message to their church, when he said, "If all you have is a piece of God, then you will never have all of God's peace." And in this morning's reading, if you're going through the one-year Bible with us, a lot of us are doing that, there was a quote, Matthew 10:39. "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it." So often the things that the Word presents to us seem just topsy-turvy from the way your thinking goes. Our thinking is that we hang on to life to protect it. And the Lord says, "No, give it to me. Then you'll have more than you can imagine." That is the Lord's message for us. And withholding ourselves from God, what we need to see is that we're receiving such a small portion of what He died to give us. I pray that we would see that, and that we would recognize that one of the things He died to give us is rest. And it's so, so wonderful. This past weekend, Pastor Brett taught on prayer, and what a great message that was. And then all the things he was sharing last night again, and I was so glad he reiterated the steps. And I love listening to all the people responding with his points and thinking, you know, there is value in taking those notes. And I love what he said about prayer. I have scriptures, and I'm always kind of torn in this. I would love to have us turn to the Word for each one of the scriptures I share. And because there's something about seeing it in your own Bible. And yet, often I will print them out myself for one reason, and that is that we have this constraint of time. And I'm always so aware of that, and I don't want to eat into the time you have with your groups. So I hope when we don't actually pause to go into your, each of you go into your Bibles, I hope you write down the address and that you then go back maybe during the week and you actually look up those verses, because you want to see them in your own Bible. You want to highlight them or whatever you do so that you can find them again, especially when they're not familiar. Many of the verses I share this morning probably will be familiar to you, but they're good reminders. The first is Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." That has been a verse I have loved for years and years and years. And I have heard him speak that to me so many times. You know, call to me and I will answer you. In Psalm 105:4, "Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always." In Isaiah 55:6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near." And again, for some of you older gals, you may remember years ago when that was one of the praise songs that were sung. And I loved on it. And I love when we learn the scripture and song, because it has a wonderful way that the Lord can remind us through a song. And I'm sure you've experienced it where, you know, maybe something's going on in your life and you might be doing the dishes or getting your clothes, and all of a sudden you realize you're singing a song. And when that happens, just pause and listen to what the song is you're singing, because I really do believe that so often the Lord just brings that song to our mind, and it's the response to the very thing we're dealing with, to perhaps the very question, the very thing we prayed that day. He brings a song. And so I love the praise songs. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. James 4, verse 8. And I love how we were singing that really with Ryan this morning. Ask and it will be given. Oh no. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Or as it says in the New Living Translation, come close to God and God will come close to you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And again, that's the New Living Translation. He wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. He wants us to knock. And when he says to us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When he says that to us, he wants us to come. The Lord desires to have relationship with us. Isn't that an amazing thought? I don't know if we ever really fully grasp that. I remember when that was first really presented to me many years ago, that the Lord wants relationship, that he wants intimacy with us. I felt like it was a concept that was just so beyond me. But it's true. And I loved Brett sharing last weekend also about, you know, the fact that God is infinite. And how you cannot divide infinity. You know, I mean, I thought the way he expressed it, I thought, oh, I think I might get that. But it does explain the whole thought that, yes, he can this very second be listening to every single one of us in this room with undivided attention, let alone everyone in the world who is calling out to him at this moment. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? But he wants us to know him in that way. And that relationship doesn't just happen any more than your best friend becomes your best friend by meeting them the first time. You know, a friendship is born over a long period of time, over multiple visits, over multiple times of sharing. That's the way a friendship is developed. How do we dream? Why would we think that if we just have, say, the spiritual disciplines in our life of reading the one-year Bible 15 minutes every morning, that's going to really knit my heart to the Lord? For sure, the Lord will use it. And it's an important part of your being with the Lord. But those times that you're really dealing with things and you find yourself hardly able to consciously get up and go on with life because you so need to be with the Lord, those are the times that our relationship with him really deepens. And that's why when we go through trials, not that any of us would check off the box, you know, to go through trials, but when we do have hard times, those times have an amazing way of helping us to see the Lord better and to feel his love, to feel his presence in a more personal way. And that's why the person who has come through an incredible crisis, whether it's a crisis like cancer or any number of things that are just maybe long, ongoing trials. That's why that person can say, you know what? I actually thank the Lord for that because I know him so much better now. And as I say, we don't want those trials. But oh my, we do want that relationship with the Lord. And how wonderful it is when in those trials he reveals himself to us and he becomes so real to us. That's what he wants in our lives. That's what he wants us to feel. Pastor Brett also shared from Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And wasn't that a wonderful, amazing thought that Jesus prays for us? That he prays for us and that he is able to save. How? A little? Somewhat? No, to the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost. I hope and pray that each one of you this morning will apply that to whatever you're going through, to whatever you're dealing with today. He is able to save to the uttermost, and he wants to. In recent weeks, I have been talking to some women who have been going through some really, really hard things. For some, they have been health issues, you know, life-threatening diseases. And they're facing life-threatening disease in their own life. And I know one woman asked me, you know, do you know how you would feel if you heard what I heard from my doctor today? And I had to look her in the eyes and I said, no, I do not know how I would feel. And we can guess, we think we can imagine, but you know what? No. We don't know until that moment comes in our lives. And yet, I didn't have to know how I would feel to be there for her, to just be there, as Ryan said, bringing his love, his compassion. I've seen women in recent weeks who have been heartbroken, whether going through divorce. I mean, women, when they go through divorce, it just breaks my heart for them, and especially when they're young children. Hearing how they have to talk to their little ones about things that, I mean, little ones shouldn't even know exist. It shouldn't even be a part of their life, their world. And yet, these mothers have to explain, tell them. That's awful. That is so hard. I've seen women who are heartbroken because people who are dear to them are prodigals. And again, oh, when we deal with prodigals in our lives, how we want so much to just set them right, get them back in under the shelter of God's wing. We can't do it, can we? We can pray. We can pray a lot. But we can't just make it happen. And that's a hard thing to deal with. Women are going through lots of things. There are women in this room this morning who, even though maybe they greeted you with a smile, are going through things that are so hard that unless you know them personally, you might never dream it. There are women in this room whose hearts are broken. There are women in this room whose children are suffering, whether it's through physical issues or spiritual issues. So when you smile, when you visit, when you meet a new face, remind yourself of that. You don't necessarily know what's going on behind that smile. And it's not that that smile is hypocritical. But people can be dealing with much. And the Lord wants us to be Him as much as we can, a channel of His love to that person. And so that is my prayer, that, and that's why I consider the times that we gather afterwards so important, because that's when you get to share your prayer requests. That's when you get to pray for one another. And what a wonderful thing when you leave the study to know that there are women who have written down your needs and they're going to be praying for you all week long. What a comfort that is. You know, I've thought many times over the years, if I could not point the people that I meet with to Jesus Christ, I would have absolutely nothing of substance to offer them. Nothing. And I've thought how that would impact me personally. I mean, I would probably get so depressed that I would not, years and years ago, I would have given up on meeting with women because I wouldn't have been able to handle it. But because I do have the Lord to share, I do have His word to share, it is such a blessing and it changes everything. And I love how the Lord will bring scriptures to mind for me to share with those women. My heart's desire is never to have pat answers, never to have, you know, like a little folder, oh, marriage problems, let me get out this folder, the scriptures I share, you know. Oh, prodigals, let me get this one. You know, I so pray that I never do that, that I would be just sensitive to His leading and the scriptures He would bring to mind. And He's always faithful to do it. And it is so wonderful when I share a verse with a woman and see her take hold of it. You know, the verses sometimes are comforting. Sometimes the verses bring correction. But I love it when I see the woman listen and respond. Because there's a whole different look when they respond. When I see a woman grab hold of a scripture and apply it to what she's going with, you know what I see? Rest. And I never really thought of that until I was preparing the study. They can come in tears. They can be anxious. They can be heartbroken. But when the word goes out and they receive it and they not only take hold of it, but I can tell they're just going to appropriate it for all it's worth. I see the change in their countenance. And and it's not like these are fix-it verses. You know, not that I wouldn't like to have a magic wand for some of the situations I hear about and just go, oh, let me just fix that. I would love to. But that isn't what the verses are. And yet, the Lord can give them to me and to that woman. And she may have entered my office in tears, And she leaves my office. And I'm not saying, you know, that everything is great. In fact, not one thing, perhaps, in probability, in that circumstance has changed. But because she is embracing the fact that God is with her in those circumstances, that nothing is too hard for him, that he is going to be faithful to her no matter how bleak everything looks, that he is going to work together all things for good in that situation. I see rest. And I love that. And that's why truly I love, love, love the privilege of what I get to do. That I get to meet with women and watch what he does in their lives. And I watch women grow in their relationship with the Lord. And especially women who maybe when I first met them were young in the Lord. And maybe I have a relationship with them that goes on for years. And I like nothing better than to be able to say to a young gal, oh my goodness, do you realize how much you've grown in the Lord? I'm so proud of you. I love to watch that. And some of you I have known since you were teenagers. And to see what the Lord has done in your life and how the Lord works in your life and is using you, it is such a joy. And truly it just makes me love, as I say, love what I do. Isn't it amazing to think we would ever resist what he has for us, let alone refuse his invitation to receive the rest that he has for us? He invites us to come to him. He tells us to pray. When I was thinking about this yesterday, immediately talk about singing a song. Immediately, I hear myself singing an old hymn, and I thought, oh, I bet a lot of the women know this one. You know, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we will not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, when I began this study, I had no idea that the emphasis was going to be so strong, so great on rest. And yet now what I see him linking that rest to is prayer and the relationship with him that we develop through prayer. And so I loved it when Pastor Brett taught on prayer, and it was like, oh, I just felt like that's the Lord letting me know, yes, you're on the right path. So of a little formula, relationship with him equals rest in him. Is it really that simple? I really believe that it is. You know, I mentioned some trials that I know are personal, that different individuals here, I just have the knowledge of, are going through. But I just also want to consider the times that we're living in, you know, not just the personal times, but the times we're living in. They're amazing, aren't they? I mean, 30 years ago, I remember when there were things happening in the world and everybody was thinking, oh, the Lord's coming back. He's coming back. I mean, things are so bad. And I remember one older woman saying to me, you know, I wish this was as bad as it was going to get, but I really have a feeling that what the Lord speaks about in his word, it's even darker than we're dealing with now. And I remember thinking then, wow. And yet thinking, I had a feeling she might be right. Well, 30 years later, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I never would have dreamed 30 years ago how very dark our times would get. I know one of the good things is that when I watch the news, the Lord has really made me have to exercise taking my thoughts captive, you know, because I can start creating these little scenarios of what we might be dealing with in the future, right here in our own neighborhood, you know. And I mean, I just have to, just stop that. I've even had to really put a limit on the time I watch the news, how much news I watch, because I realize what that does to me. And it's not putting my head in the sand, although I've done that in the past before, but it's not living in denial, but it's like, no. You know, we've been told that it's not a wise thing to always be seeking for signs from God. But I have to tell you that for Christmas, I received two wonderful gifts that were signs from God. And I just love how the Lord is using them in my life. One sign is long and narrow. It's on a board, you know, it's a plaque. And it says in large letters, "Rest in Him." And I remember on Christmas Day when I opened it, you know, when you're opening the presents and you get something like that and thinking, oh, I wonder where I'll put this. And I always think of my office first because I love the idea that then so many other people are blessed by it too. But I had the feeling that it was going to stay at my house. And so I'm looking for where I would put it. And I just thought, I looked and I have a table that my TV is on. And I thought, this is long and narrow and it kind of fits right there. And for right now, that's where I'm going to put it. So I just put it right on that table. And then I received another plaque on wood, and it was kind of square. And that says, "I'm here, God." And I thought, oh. So I went and I put that on my counter, but where from many vantage points it can be seen in my little home. So I put that on my counter. Well, and this is typical of me anyway. It's now 3 weeks later. Guess what? They're exactly where I put them. You know, I have not moved them. But just yesterday, the Lord showed me they are exactly where they are supposed to be. I put on Fox News and, you know, thought I would just kind of see what was happening. And I'm there and I'm listening to the news. And this is no kidding. I could feel my blood pressure, and I have low blood pressure, but I could feel my blood pressure going up. I could feel the level of, going up. And no kidding, I lowered my eyes, and right below the screen, "Rest in Him." And I felt my blood pressure come down. And I really kind of laughed. I thought, so I looked up at the screen, looked down at the sign, and don't tell me those aren't signs from God. But I thought, that is what exactly I need to appropriate every time I'm listening to the news. Hear how bleak it is, But then remember, rest in God. And then just lifting my eyes and glancing beyond the TV screen to the sign on my counter. I'm here, God. And I just said, thank you so much, Lord. That is exactly what I need to remember, that you are here. You have rest for me. You're a God for all of my personal cares and for all the global needs. You are there. So the Lord has two things that I feel he is pressing for today. He wants relationship with us. In large part, that's going to come through prayer, through being in his word. He wants us to remember that no matter what we are going through, one, there is rest, and it is to be found in him. Number two, that no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what is going on in the world, God is here. He is with us. I want to close with the Apostles' Prayer from Ephesians 3, and I'm going to start in verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the reality of your presence in our lives. I thank you for the rest that you want us to embrace, to live in, to breathe in, to walk in. Now have your way in us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.